You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Where do you go for comics new and old? Where do you see your favorite television and movie stars? And where do you go to see the best in cosplay? Wizard World Comic Con. Wizard World Comic Con offers live entertainment and gaming, comics new and old, cosplay, toys and memorabilia, and a chance to meet your favorite television and movie stars. For news, celebrity updates, and tickets to future shows, go to wizardworld.com. Don't feel like paying full price? No problem. Use promo code CANDAIR at checkout to get 10% off your tickets. So, where are you going to go for your pop culture fix? Wizard World Comic Con. Go to wizardworld.com for tickets.
Well, hello out there, everybody. This is Winnie the Pooh and Tigger, too. And also some guy named Jim Cummings. You're not going to believe this, but you are listening to the Canned Air Podcast. Good job. Keep it up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And joining us today to talk about a Kickstarter that, by the time you're hearing this, is going to have ended and successfully been funded at that.
We did it.
Glad we could help. it's called Along a Burning River, Stories from Ohio. It's like an anthology from Ohio creators about stories from Ohio. We welcome Todd Zierloff to the show. Todd, it's awesome to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. It's great to be here.
We've got a good episode for you folks at home today. We're recording this on November 12th, Tuesday, and just so happens to be Disney Plus launch day. So, this is kind of an event. This is kind of a happening, you know, pop culture wise, right?
It is, yep.
So why not just spend the episode talking about it and just digging right into it, getting our founder circle look at it, as the website's calling it. Did you get that message when you signed up? The founder circle message?
I didn't get anything when I signed up. I thought I would get an email, but nothing.
I guess I'm better than you.
I was able to log right in. Well, no, actually, it took me two times.
Then after that, we're going to turn our attention over to Todd and talk more about Along a Burning River. But before we do all that, don't forget to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And if you want to show your support, you like what we're doing, head over to patreon.com/CannedAirPod. For $5 a month, you get access to the Canned Air Patreon pod. And for $2, just a one-time payment of $2, you can get access to the Canned Air Fantasy Fight, which is an album where we play the game we sometimes play on the show called Versus. We roll dice, randomly pick two characters, and talk about if they were to battle, who's to win. We make a whole tournament bracket with sound effects, audience roar. Oh, man, it's fun as shit. It's fun shit. So, again, $2, you can't go wrong, and you're supporting the show. What else we got, Jack?
November 23rd, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th at Bay Area. Wizard World Comic Con will be showing up this year. That's what it just says. It just says Bay Area.
You know where that's at, right?
Yeah, exactly. San Francisco area, I'm pretty sure that's where they're talking about.
It sounds like it, yeah. I hope.
But if you plan on going, use Canned Air in the promo code to get 10% off your tickets.
That is our name.
Yeah. I didn't know if I, for some reason, brain farted, thought podcast was going to be in there, but...
It's a Tuesday and not a Monday.
Yeah.
Things are already thrown off.
Cold.
It's cold. There's snow on the ground. This is not right. Randy, what else we got? Anything?
Do you like video games, toys, or comics?
Yes,
well,
I do.
If you do, Canned Air is going to be hosting the Torgs Gaming Convention next May 30th in Lewis Center. Stay tuned at the end of the episode and you'll hear some more info about it.
I'm going to go.
There it is. I think I might go too. All right. Let's kick it off with this week's Retro Roundtable.
And away we go. I'll be back.
Shut up! Shut up!
And you know what? Shut Nothing up. Really retro about this roundtable. It's just what's in the future.
Just the content, I guess, is the retro part of it.
I guess so. This Disney Plus. Let's start flapping our gums about Disney Plus. Let's first, I'd like to hear Todd's opinion, because before we even got on the show, he said that he had been trying to get it to play all day, which is, I think, the same boat we were all kind of in.
Not me.
Because during the, good for you. But it seems like throughout the day, it was hard to get a good stream going.
I get mine free through Verizon, thanks to their very, very generous offer to... You know, what I assume is to try and throw Netflix down. But, yeah, so I got it for free this morning. I got it all ready. I'm like, awesome. And it wouldn't let me stream until I verified my account. And it turns out verifying your account requires them to send you an email, which their servers must have been overwhelmed, because I had them resent like 9 times. That was at like 10 o'clock this morning, and I didn't get any of them recently.
That's so weird you say that, because right before we started this call, I checked my phone and I got that exact thing. I just got that email, the verification code. So,
see, I was kind of thrown off, because I thought I read an article somewhere saying what time that you would be able to start watching it. And it said 9 o'clock Eastern today.
A.M.
No, P.M. It was 9
p.m. Well, the countdown on their website like ended at like 6 or 7 o'clock this morning. So I figured that's when it went live.
But, and I thought I saw a bunch of posts saying yesterday that, oh, it's live.
And when I got up for work, I was able to download the Disney Plus app on my phone.
See, I couldn't even find it on the iPhone. I even typed in Disney Plus.
I did too, and then I had to scroll down to like the fourth option before it was there. It wasn't like number one.
I ended up going to Facebook, clicking a link, taking me to the website, then signing up. And then it was like, oh, you want the app? Well, wow. Yeah. And then it took me to the app, and then I downloaded it. Logged in. And it said, cannot connect. I'm like, you jerk. Shut it off. Turn it back on. Poof.
Good to go. I mean, the hype that's been around Disney Plus, everything they've got, I mean, they had to expect those servers to be
fucking loaded, right?
I mean, how could you not expect error to happen on day one? I'm just glad I didn't take the day off for the event, because I'd have been salty. I'd have been pissed off.
That's a little extreme, I think, that.
I don't know.
I'm going to be the first one to watch Mandalorian.
Well, I you just know how hungry some people are for new Star Wars content, especially something that looks as juicy as The Mandalorian. Mm. If I called off to binge it and it was only the one episode that they gave us, really pissed.
Yeah, I'm lucky that I had some Jack Ryan left over to finish watching today.
There you go.
I had nothing else to watch because I plan on watching this all day.
Can you imagine all the kids that were home from school with a snow day today, like getting all pumped thinking they could watch Disney, and then
Did kids have a snow day today?
My son was under a 2-hour delay.
Yeah, you guys did.
Wow, really? Yeah,
not mine. I got to work from home though, so I don't give a shit.
Well, lucky for you, man. That'd be nice. That'd be nice. See what else. I'm just going to open the app here and just kind of take a look at it. One thing I'm really surprised at is, you know, when they say we're going to have Marvel, we're going to have Star Wars, you think, okay, you'll have Thor, Dark World, and Iron Man 3. Get the hell out of my face with your shit. But I was surprised. Their selection is pretty good, and maybe that's just to, you know, keep the gears oiled, right. You know, keep people interested, mm-hmm. and they'll slowly start pulling them. But it looks like, as far as Star Wars, you get all the movies.
All of them except, well...
Except for Last Jedi, which I think Netflix still
has.
That's
because Netflix still has it, right.
As well as Solo, but who cares about that movie? I tried to watch that shit again. I was like, you know what? Maybe I was too harsh on it. I watched it again. Nah. That is a shitty movie.
I've been wanting to try to do it a third time, because I fall asleep every time. And I woke... Well, I've seen it in its entirety, because the first time I watched it, I passed out. And I went back to... You know, see where I left off to watch, and I was like, "Oh, all right."
I swear to God, there's a point in that movie. Okay, you know, like in when Luke and Chewie are first playing the chess thing on the Millennium Falcon, and he starts bitching that Chewie cheated, and he goes, mm-hmm. "You know, he'll rip your he's a Wookiee, he'll rip your arms off, kid," or something like that.
Right?
Like in Solo, they made a point to show
him ripping somebody's arms off.
I thought, oh my God, you guys are taking this way too literal and way too fucking far. I don't know. That's my opinion. But yeah, anyway, I was surprised all the Star Wars films are on there because I wanna start binging them all before the
and Lego.
Lego
Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah, there's all the Lego Star Wars is on there too.
I've never been a fan of the Lego stuff. I know people are into it, but
they're funny. The Emperor's pretty funny in it. It's kind of like the robot chicken Star Wars stuff.
I get they're funny. I mean, the Lego movie was kind of an introduction to, okay, this can be funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I still haven't gone the full way with Lego.
There's a whole, Resistance or something like that? A whole offshoot Star Wars story in the Legos.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I watched Lego Batman and realized I probably wasn't going to get much better than that, so I just left it and ended it on a high point.
I think it was Resistance. I don't know. That's the name of the new series, I think, that's out. That cel-shaded animation. That
you can never gel with the cel-shaded animation. I
couldn't get into it.
I don't know why, but I couldn't. What else we have on here? As far as Marvel selection goes, me and Randy were checking this out before you got here, Jack. And it looks like, aside from Infinity War's missing.
Ragnarok's missing.
Ant-Man
and the Wasp is missing. I know that. I saw a big list the other day.
So maybe I think Infinity War's still on Netflix. So maybe we just need to look at Netflix for what's missing from here. Maybe that's the only reason there are those holes in the catalog. I assume you're also a big Marvel fan there, Todd?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's your preference as far as the Marvel films go? Lean any certain way?
I think the Winter Soldier is still my favorite that they've done. But, I mean, I'm a huge Captain America fan. I'm sitting right behind a drawing of the Winter Soldier that Steve Epting drew me in a comic show, so I'm biased, probably.
Wow.
That was a huge one for me. But I'm a big Thor fan, too, so it was good to see a pretty decent Thor movie. I'd be a Thor apologist for a while, for those first two movies.
Yeah, but, Dark World I could never get into.
It's boring.
It is so fucking boring.
They took the good, a cool villain and just did nothing with him.
Malekith is one of my favorite Marvel villains. He's like the Joker of the Marvel world, if he really... You look at the way he can be done, and they made him stiff military guy, and I don't understand that transformation at all.
That's weird. Typically pretty good at getting character right with these characters, you know what I mean? I mean, for the most part, they're not always exact, but... Randy, you got some Disney notes there. What you got?
It was more on older Disney stuff, not necessarily Disney Plus, but...
That's fine. I mean, I feel like a lot of the content on Disney Plus, as far as actual Disney films are concerned, there's a lot of old ones on there, it seems.
The Mighty Ducks isn't on there yet.
No?
No.
I was excited to see...
The Mighty Ducks cartoon series is, though.
Is it?
Yeah, that was a good one, though.
That I'll watch.
I was excited to see a few Disney Channel original movies on there. Growing up, I had the Disney Channel, and right along that time, when they started releasing some full-length features on that station, and they had Johnny Tsunami, which I don't know if you guys have ever seen that. It's about
I know the name.
I've never even heard of that.
So it's a feel good family movie, but it's about basically a kid that grew up in Hawaii and comes, I think, with his family out to Colorado or something, and uses his surfing skills on snowboards.
And but it's exactly the same.
Yep.
Just like water skiing and skiing.
Yep.
It had the guy that played Shang Tsung in it in the Mortal Kombat movie, so that was
cool a fish for me. To land.
But they had, I think, Brinks on there, the rollerblading movie that was pretty cool. They did a lot of weird concepts. I think there was a bowling one. They had a lot of oddball original movies that I'll kind of be excited to see what shows up on there.
Air Bud's not on there either.
The Goofy movie's on there too. The
Goofy movie is on there. And I think one of the Air Bud sequels, Air Buddies, is on there. So
the puppies. Yeah. Yeah. The first two or three, I think, aren't yet.
Knowing that. That's horrible. You got to wade through a lot of shit to find the gems, though. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of stuff on there. I'd like. What I like, that's so Raven.
Hard pass on that one.
Yeah.
I know when I first logged in today, the first thing across the banner that caught my eye that I thought you would be totally down to watch, Jeremy, is The Life According to
Jeff Goldblum. Yep.
I was like, what is this?
You bet your bippy. Right there it is.
Yep.
I'm excited. No idea what it's about, mm-mm, but he's an American treasure. He's a treasure.
And speaking of American Treasure, that's another one that's not on there. But the second one is...
What?
American Treasure.
What's that? I don't even know what that is.
National Treasure?
National Treasure. That's what I mean.
National Treasure.
Same thing.
I enjoyed that. What about, are you guys excited to see this Lady and the Tramp at all?
No.
I had no idea. I saw the trailer for it the other day, but I thought it was going to be a movie thing. I had no idea that it was on this.
Well, it is a movie thing just on here.
Right. I thought it was going to be a theater release. I didn't think it, I had no idea it was a Disney Plus thing.
I don't know. I wish they would have picked maybe a little more popular movie to do. I don't know. Not that movie wasn't popular, but...
Of the night,
I can't get behind a lot of these, like, live-action remakes of the animated classics.
I enjoyed Aladdin. It was good. I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't the original.
I don't think I'll ever watch it.
But it was fun.
Ever.
It doesn't have Robin Williams in it. I can't do it. I mean, mm-hmm, I'm a huge Will Smith fan. I just can't do it.
He brought his own thing to it. He really did. Yeah, you know, like, it wasn't him just trying to impersonate Robin Williams. He had his own thing to
right
it. So it was good in that right.
And he can go a long way with that.
What's that?
And he can go a long way with that. I mean, he was in Suicide Squad, and he didn't play Deadshot at all, but he played himself, and that was fun.
You know?
Yeah. Like, I didn't hate that. Don't we need some parts of that movie?
Yeah. That's true.
Lion King, I want to see the live action one.
I do want to see that one. I'm trying to think what else I've seen. Beauty and the Beast was okay.
Yeah.
There was a lot of PC shit happening in there. What's that?
My kids got freaked out by that. It got too dark with the plague masks and everything.
There's something about those plague masks that are off-putting, no matter what.
Well, are you talking about in the very beginning, like the ball or whatever, where everyone's wearing
And then when they went back and she saw in time, and you know, they went to her parents' house in Paris or something like that.
So real quick, if each one of you guys had to pick one Disney movie for them to remake in live action,
glad you asked me this.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
No, Jack, you go first.
Robin Hood.
Fucking asshole.
Are you serious?
That's exactly what I had written
with the foxes.
Yes.
All right.
Little John or Prince John.
I would love to see that.
I can't believe that's action. The one you picked.
I've seen that so many times.
Mm-hmm. That would be awesome. Yeah. What about you, Todd?
I don't know, because mine was Aladdin for a while, but then when they did it, I was like, oh, nope, never mind.
I take it back.
Yeah. Well, it was Aladdin because, it would have been Robin Williams, but when he passed, I was like, oh, no.
Wow, so, I never even thought about that. If he were still alive and they did, like, the live CG version of him, like, using him. Oh, wow. That would have been awesome. Wow.
I think Robin Williams and Disney had, like, a big falling out, though, didn't they?
I don't know. That's between him and them.
Money has a way of fixing all of those things.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
That it does. Heals all wounds, doesn't it? What else you got, Randy?
I was going to say, for mine, I would love to see them remake The Black Cauldron. I know that was not a real popular one, but I think that looked awesome.
Seeing that's on Disney Plus, I'm excited because I want to watch it. Because I've never seen it. I know the imagery, and that's it. I don't know anything else about it.
I've got it on VHS, and I haven't seen it in forever, but it's dark, but it's good.
I wonder if it's remastered at all, or if it's going to be the same old grainy video, like VHS video record, like those commercials we sat and watched.
I'm sure it'll be touched up.
Horrible tracking.
It'll have to look, yeah. Doubtful. The Robin Hood Disney film I had was actually recorded off television in the early 80s. Somehow, or on the VHS, so I had to always watch the VHS clipping and shit butted up in the front and back of it. You know, we had one of the old VCRs that had like the remote control and a long ass cord, and like was one of those old top loaders. The whole tray would pop straight up and junk, junk. Yeah. Those were the days. What else we got, guys?
The X-Men 92 cartoon, they seem to be pimping that pretty hard. It's like right on the front page and everything.
Yeah, and did you see the other animated series they had on there?
Which one?
They had the, well, they've got a few, but they've got the Spider-Man and his amazing friends, like the OG.
Yeah, they have like, all the Spider-Man shows.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was surprised how many they had.
Yeah, there's one Spider-Woman show.
Was there?
Yeah, Iron Man cartoon, the Fantastic Four, 90s
Spider-Surfer in there.
Yeah.
And you have X-Men Evolution, too. That was a great show.
I started watching that on Netflix a while. Yeah, I didn't get too far into it, but...
Another good one, if you haven't, that is also on here, Wolverine and the X-Men. So
maybe that's the one I was watching. Yeah,
that one toward the end of the series starts arcing into Days of Future Past kind of stuff.
It got canned. It only got like one season, didn't it?
Let me look. I thought I had.
Well, there's only one season on here. But I bought the DVD for my kid years ago, and it's like one DVD. It's like a there's box, two discs in it.
Definitely more than one season. Because, or maybe not.
Let's use the power of Google.
Maybe not. Because, it shows 26 episodes. And by episode 25, I'm seeing a bunch of Sentinels. So you must be right.
Yeah, it only aired for one season.
I thought that was good. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I liked that a lot, too.
Like, something happens to Charles Xavier right at the top of the series, so Wolverine has to kind of step up and lead the X-Men. So good. What are you guys excited for?
Mandalorian.
Well, no shit. have you watched any of it?
Yep.
And? What have you think so far? Don't give any spoilers, but...
It looks good. It makes me...
Does it feel like Star Wars? You know, like when Force Awakens came out, that did such a good job of feeling and looking like Star Wars. Last Jedi did not do a good job of that. Like, it feels like a totally different...
What about Rogue One? Did it feel like Star Wars?
I think it did.
Yeah. Force Awakens felt like Star Wars just because it was A New Hope repackaged.
Not only that, but you could tell that he was really, like, using the 1970s... Not only like hairstyles on a lot of these new characters, which is much appreciated because that's, you know, how the original was. Mm-hmm. But not only that, but like the 1970s film work kind of. And like the practical effects. Like there's a scene in there where like there's just a shot of the desert as BB-8 rolls away and you see like something pop its head up and kind of look around and then go back down. And just
the horizontal wipe that goes across the screen to the next.
There's a shot right in the very beginning where Poe Dameron comes walking out of a tent, walking toward the camera to get his binoculars out to see the oncoming TIE fighters. And that shot right there, it's sped up just enough to where his walking out almost looks comedic. But at the same time, it's the same kind of shit you would have seen in like the old movies. I can't explain what that is, but it's hard to explain, but it felt like Star Wars. I thought it felt like
I think Star it does Wars. It's because it's in a different time in Star Wars. I didn't get to watch enough to really get a good feeling of it. I mean, there's a couple of aliens that you recognize. They're speaking Huttese. At least I think it's Huttese. And see a couple of stormtroopers. That's about really all
Are you on Tatooine? Does it start you on Tatooine?
No, it's on some weird ice planet.
Okay, cool.
The only thing, there's one thing that kind of threw me off is one guy that was in it. He's a comedian. He's a real nerdy guy, tall guy, big nose. He's always Steve like, hey guys, what are you doing? I don't know if that really helps. He's got
thick. I'm pretty sure it's Steve Agee. Isn't it? Or no, he's in the next Suicide Squad. That's right. That's where he got thrown into. I'm
trying to think of what else he's been. He's been in a ton of things, but he's a real tall, red-haired guy. He's got a big beard. You'd recognize him when you see him. It was kind of weird seeing him in that.
Huh. I'm excited to watch.
But it was cool that, like I said, it makes me want to go watch a lot of stuff about the Mandalorians in the Clone Wars. Because it looks like they're going to dive pretty deep into like lore, Mandalorian.
Define exactly what a Mandalorian is. Just a species?
Yeah, they're from Mandalore.
Well, stands to reason.
They're people from Mandalore. I don't remember a lot. It's just they have their own.
They're just humans, just from this place called Mandalore.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure. I mean, does the like the Boba Fett looking helmet have anything to do with that either? Is that like something that's they wear, or is that
that's just their type of armor the that they have?
Okay. All right.
It's Bill Burr is who you're probably thinking of.
Nope, not Bill Burr.
Oh. Okay, because he's got red hair. Right. He's in it.
He's in that too, yeah.
Ever so excited about that. And season 7 of The Clone Wars. My God, I cannot wait. I also thought this was going to be on here on launch day. Boy, was I wrong. Boy, was I wrong. I had to look it up and see when it actually comes out. Clone War fans here?
Of course.
I've been told to watch it. I have not done so.
Oh, what was that, Todd?
I said I've been told to watch it. I have not.
Oh, man. Yeah, let me be join the masses and tell you again, watch it, because it's so good. I will say, though, there are pockets of bullshit throughout the series where, like, there'd be, like, a 3 or 4 episode arc where, like, Yoda takes a bunch of younglings into a cave to find their kyber crystals. That shit was kind of boring. But, you know, when it starts getting back into, like, the actual war and the politics and seeing Palpatine, you know, season 5 and 6 really starting to come out more. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, it was so good. But, yeah, Jack mentioned, man, it comes up like every other episode when we do this show, but the Darth Maul and Palpatine saber battle is about the best saber battle I've ever seen and mm-hmm. probably yeah. ever will see. So you need to watch it.
I'm in the same boat as you, Todd. I haven't seen it yet, so... You're among friends, at least. Or a friend.
But the old heathen here.
All right, where do we go from here? We started...
Well, I think High School Musical, the series, is the only logical place.
What's that?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
God.
I said High School Musical, the series. I mean, that's the only place
to go. High School Musical. No, thank
Zac Efron.
No, thank you.
That's where you got
to
start.
I'm just excited to share some of, not that, but some of these other series with my kids that have kind of been hard to find, like some of these original movies, some of the original series.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if they're going to put Even Stevens on there, the one that made Shia LaBeouf his intro into acting.
Yeah.
I would imagine. I'm trying to see what has, like, what's coming out of the vault here. And, I mean, we've got Aladdin,
Rocketeer,
Beauty and the Beast.
Pretty exciting.
I'm sorry?
The Rocketeer. It's on here.
Yeah.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? That's one I would like to watch again. It's on here.
Speaking of Shia LaBeouf, Holes isn't going to be on it for a little while still.
That was a good movie, though.
Was it?
Yeah.
They had to hold something back.
It's just an empty vault with a single copy of Holes sitting in it. I'm really, really excited for these classic Mickey cartoons that are on here.
Like the Steamboat Willie?
Yeah. Yeah, and a bunch of these classic ones. I love those old cartoons.
You can only watch so much of that animation.
Especially the ones where Goofy was like the instructor cartoons.
Oh,
They teach you how to ski or something.
Yeah.
Oh, they're
like
fun.
Like how to install a TV.
Yes. Those were hilarious.
Those were good.
Dumbo's on here, the remake of Dumbo. I hadn't seen that yet. Has anyone here seen that?
No, I don't even think I've seen the original. If I did, I couldn't make it through the Elephants on Parade because it was scary when I was watching it.
Yeah, that movie is kind of...
And then watching the beginning, well, just the trailer of that one, it just seems super heartbreaking because the whole beginning of Dumbo.
Right.
What if they'll do Bambi?
I was wondering about that myself. I really was because, I don't know.
Why not? I mean, they're doing all the other ones. It can't be that... more expensive. I mean,
I don't know, because I think we're much more cautious about what our children are thinking and feeling nowadays. And if you remember when we were kids and you just see the implication of that deer getting killed, you're like, well, he's not fucking dead, is he? What? I mean, it's traumatic. Yeah. I mean, it teaches you some shit, I guess, but
the two enduring images of death for everyone probably our age are Old Yeller and Bambi.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. That's how man.
I'm pretty effed in the head, but you guys are talking about a Bambi live action, and all I can think of is, well, this is how Larry the Cable Guy is going to get into Disney movies.
What do you mean?
It's the Hunter.
Oh, God. I will cancel Disney
Cabela's
Plus if
endorsements.
You ever put Larry the Cable Scrote on your service. No, thank you. Any of that blue-collar comedy shit.
Walking through the tracking.
Yeah, I can't do that blue-collar comedy bullshit. No, thank you. Help me, guys. What we got?
So I've got, I did a little digging on the other end of just Disney in general and found a list of unreleased films.
Okay.
That either like were entered production or were close to being released and never were.
Okay.
A few of them were pretty good. First off, and I know we talked about this on an older episode, Jeremy and I did, but they were going to do a movie about Chanticleer, which was a real cocky rooster, no pun intended. That's all, folks. But they scrapped it for making The Sword in the Stone, and then eventually Don Bluth, I think, picked up the rights, and that's when they made Rockadoodle.
Really?
So, yeah, because the...
Yeah, we had been talking about that as of late. That, I was thinking that as soon as you started thinking about that, yeah.
They did another one, or we're going to do a sequel slash prequel to Roger Rabbit, which had to do with Roger's parents, Nazis, and Jessica Rabbit, like, him meeting her, and then she got captured by Nazis, and it was even...
Wow.
Yeah.
How could you ever...
I don't know. Obviously, that one didn't make it.
Wasn't there, like, and this isn't even Disney, but wasn't there, like, a legit Beetlejuice sequel in the works where he, like, Beetlejuice goes Hawaiian or Hawaii or some shit? We had talked about
that, like, a long time ago,
long time ago,
God that never caught on.
Right?
There was, they were getting really close to making a sequel to Nightmare Before Christmas, but Disney wanted to go CG, and Tim Burton wanted to do stop motion, so it kind of killed it.
Why would you do anything other than what was a hit the first time?
Exactly. Right.
That makes no sense, man.
Yeah, go Tim Burton on that one, I would say.
I'd agree on that one, too. They were going to do a... so, has anybody actually seen Burr Rabbit? Or what is that, Song of the South?
Burr Rabbit?
Yeah.
No,
I'm pretty sure that's... since our generation's been around, I don't think that's been... Like, that's like contraband.
Yeah, that would be a Disney plus.
Not very PC of you, Randy.
But I watched a video on this. In Splash Mountain, where it does all the references to that, you see a sign that says Catfish Bend about halfway through the ride.
Okay.
And that was in reference. They were going to make a sequel to that. They were kind of do a little bit of universe building, and Catfish Bend was going to be set in the same kind of cartoon realm as... Song of the South, Burr Rabbit, and kind of feature kind of similar characters, but just different. So, like, take Winnie the Pooh and then have, you know, a movie about Tigger or something like that. Kind of the same same flavor.
I vaguely remember that Song of the South. I just remember Brer Rabbit and Brer Bear.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day. You know that song, right? That's what that's from.
Is it?
Yep.
This funny thing about that ride, what is that ride called anyway?
Isn't it Splash Mountain?
Splash Mountain, I think you're right. The big log ride where you go like through the thorn thing, fun ride, very fun ride. But there is I don't know if they still do it. There's some part of the ride up toward the top where it requires somebody to operate. I don't know what it is or what's required of that person, but I saw this in one of those like Disney behind the scenes shows. In the top of that mountain is like a little miniature basketball court, and like two or three employees who take turns manning whatever this job is they have to do, you know, in their downtime when they're not working, they'll shoot hoops up there.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
The ball goes loose and all of a sudden someone in the ride gets pelted.
Ping! You're just on a log ride and get hit in the face with a foul ball.
That's about as bad as people dumping their...
I guess that wouldn't be a basketball. It'd be a baseball. See, I don't know sports for shit.
That's about as bad as people dumping ashes of their dead loved ones at the Haunted Mansion ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My God.
I've listened to podcasts of people who've just left their family's ashes in some fucked up places, man.
Here you go.
Yeah, no, thank
you. Bye, Grandma.
Looking at the Pixar stuff, they've got all the shorts in there, which is pretty cool. I saw that,
yeah.
They better have some of the longs.
Well, they got longs and the shorts.
Sorry, I'm sidetracking again, but that was another one that was pretty close to being made or that was canceled or whatever. Did you guys remember the... they were hyping it there for a while, the Jack and the Beanstalk gigantic movie? Did you hear they did like a couple press releases and I think some test footage? It's going to be a big, I think, Pixar film, and then it dropped.
No. Never. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on here.
What have they got for National Geographic?
That's what I was just about to look at. Does that strike anyone's fancy?
Yeah, my son was all over that. He was actually watching a documentary on sharks right as I was walking out the door, so.
I'm very excited to check that out.
the Disney Channel originally had Jeff Corwin, like a kind of a National Geographic feel show back in the day.
Jeff Corwin, who is that?
He was like the...
I know that name.
He was like the Crocodile Dundee knockoff. Or
the American version of the Crocodile Hunter. Wasn't he was with... Was it him and another guy that started off?
Might be.
It was like two of them, but now it's just Jeff Corwin.
I think so.
He's all old and chubby now.
Yeah, there's just a lot of crap yeah. on here.
Aren't we all, though?
Yeah, that was the best of us there, Jack.
What else you got, Randy? Or Todd? Anybody?
I'm pretty jazzed about this Disney... what is it? The Imagineering thing behind the scenes of the what an Imagineer does at Disney World?
I was just seeing that. I am stoked on that myself. That, and it looks like there's also, like, as far as Marvel's concerned, like a Building a Universe documentary or something.
I saw that, yeah.
I think that's... There's something called that on one of the bonus features, and one, I think, on Infinity War. Oh. So I don't know if it's the same thing or not.
It probably is.
Oh, Disney Plus is bringing back Lizzie McGuire.
Oh, that's exciting.
Go on. Well,
they've got Agent Carter on here, too, and that's pretty cool, because that was something they never bothered to put out on DVD for some reason.
Right.
Or at least not in an affordable, normal sense.
I'll be able to finish up that good show. Season 2, because I didn't watch... I fell off Season 2. I think something...
That's when she went out to, like, Hollywood, I think, was Season 2.
Something like that, yeah.
Season 2 was fantastic up until... just wait until you get to the last 20 minutes of that last episode. And, man, did they just phone in that last battle, like, so hardcore.
The Game of Thrones it.
Yeah, well, it's like they ran out of CG money or something, like, because the show was canceled. So they had to, like, do this real half-assed bullshit with, you know, they had that villain that had, you know, had that, like, kind of almost limitless power. And it was just so, it was like, it was like Saturday morning cartoon solution. It was so bad.
Oh, man, that in itself makes me want to start the whole thing over.
Yeah, all the characters and the chemistry and everything on there were so good.
Oh, they've got Inhumans, too.
Why are you excited?
Oh.
Are you, is that something you want to see?
Inhumans? No, I tried watching an episode of it, and it was just like, oh.
I tried just recently, and I don't say tried like it didn't work. I think I still could if I just dedicated time to get back into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Because I was pretty far into that and was enjoying where they were going with it at the time. And,
I know they went to space or something where I had left off. They were heading into space on the next season, and that's never picked back up from
that. The first space season, when they went to the future, wasn't too bad. It had its moments for sure, but the second half when they got back to Earth was a little weak, and then I haven't touched this newest season yet.
Man, so, you guys,
I don't know anybody that has, honestly.
I left off at the end of Ghost Rider at the beginning of Ava, like when she was going corrupt and starting to take shit over. So I've got some.
That got pretty cool, actually. When she took over they went into her like construct world, and that was probably some of the best that show ever was.
Oh, that's right. I forgot they had gone into that.
Maybe I'll start it up again.
It's like the Marvel Matrix.
That's one of those weird shows that, man, from season to season, it was, and even like half season to half season, it was so up and down. Like, I'd be excited for it one week, and the next week I'm like, I don't even care.
Yeah.
Boy, isn't that the accurate explanation of watching that series?
It was usually the build up before that movie, the next movie came out, and then seeing the ramifications after the movie on the next episode, and then after that, it was just like.
So, did they? It sounds like you, Todd, have stayed with the series for a while. Have they stayed in the fashion of, you know, keeping up with the movie's events and stuff?
They like
make small mention of it.
They had gotten really far away from it, and I think like to sort of like tacitly tie it together, they were like, "Oh shit, we really have gotten off of this." So, in that last season that I watched, was when Infinity War hit, and it was taking place simultaneously, and I can't even think of his name, the Air Force general that they're always with, the guy who's from Heroes, I think it's Adrian Pastar is his name, but I can't think of who he was on the show. Talbot, he was Talbot, and he became Gravitron. or Graviton or something. I don't. And he decided that he was going to go take on Thanos because he'd heard it was happening in Wakanda at the time, and the news was covering it. And then he was going to go take him down with his new infinite power, and then they stopped him, and then the season ended, and I haven't watched since. So I don't know if they addressed like the snap at all or anything like that.
He shows up and it's late, and everyone's gone. Darn it!
It was just great that he's like, I'm going to go take down Thanos, and then like, you know, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just took him down. I'm like, oh, okay, well,
sure you are, guy. Man, I was hanging on your every word there. I kind of want to go watch this.
Yeah, I wondered if they were keeping in with the movies or not. I didn't know if they were.
Yeah. It was just that one offhand reference. Like, that was all they could manage the last, like, two seasons out of it.
I mean, that's all it seemed to really be. Wasn't there, like, a quick cameo by Samuel L. Jackson at the end of one episode, like, in the first...
Just of the first season, yeah.
Yeah.
The only other thing we got were two random appearances by Sif. Which both unrelated to anything.
Yeah.
That was them thinking, like, yeah, we really fucked up on Dark World. Let's see if we can pull these people over. Because they really nailed that one hard.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
That was like 2 or 3 episode arc, right?
Yeah, I remember after the movie launched, that next following episode, they were, we're on cleanup duty from the big spaceship that tore up the ground.
Someone got to do it.
Yeah.
Someone got to do it. All right. What else we got, guys? Anything?
I'm tapped out from what I've been looking at.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm excited to do some watching here. This Mandalorian show's looking good. They got all 30 seasons of The Simpsons. All 30 seasons. Jesus.
That's crazy, yeah.
I'm just excited to see what comes out. I mean, it sounds like they're in it for the long haul with this, and how much good stuff like Netflix has put out over the years. Like,
not only that, but to see what stays.
Right.
Like we said earlier. I don't know if we said that on or off the show earlier, but yeah, to see what of all these glorious things we have out the gate, we get to keep. Because I'm sure a lot of it's just great. In the wheel.
I'm super curious about this WandaVision show coming up.
Yeah.
So when do we start getting all that stuff? There's that, there's the Loki show, there's the What If show, there's all kinds of stuff.
Winter Falcon and Winter Soldier,
yeah.
What was that?
Fall 2020 for Winter Soldier and Falcon.
Balls.
That just makes me feel like it's going to be some kind of like Perfect Strangers comedy show or something like that. With
if you go look, they just released today the picture of Daniel Brühl in his Baron Zemo mask for the first time. It leaked.
Oh,
really?
It's not like the most exciting thing in the world, but it's pretty cool. At least it's a comic accurate version. Finally,
not like the movie when he was just a guy.
But that's the same guy that's going to be doing it.
Yeah, they got him to come back.
Awesome. That's sweet.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for that. I've always been a Zemo fan. I've always liked since they're not bringing back the Red Skull.
And it always seemed like such an easy thing they could have just made the quickest of nods to. I mean, wasn't it at the very end they were like in the cold out in that fucking bunker? Like, he could have just at the end when he was sitting there right before the scene with Black Panther just been chilling with like a purple toboggan on.
Yeah.
That would have been enough.
Yeah.
You know, in the Luke Cage show, like he could just accidentally be wearing a yellow shirt.
Right.
You know, like,
I'm excited to see how they're going to introduce like the Netflix characters in, because they keep saying they're going to. I know they've talked about...
What do you mean?
Just into the Disney fold.
Into the Disney fold. Or like into the MC... Like the movies or the...
Well, either.
Daredevil will be easy to do.
Because I think Daredevil, isn't he playing Spider-Man's lawyer in the next Spider-Man movie?
Yep.
Really?
I think so.
That's word that he's going to be... Matt Murdock's going to be Peter Parker's
lawyer. That would be so cool if they could just start merging all that stuff. Yeah. That would be so sweet. Because, man, I just wish they would continue those series, personally, but I don't think they will.
I had heard somewhere, and you always have to take this shit with a grain of salt, but I heard the other day that they were on board for everything but Iron Fist, that they were like, we don't want Iron Fist like this. We want to be Iron Fist. Because apparently they have a vision of the real Iron Fist in their head. They nailed all the other characters so well. But I always thought Danny Rand. I mean, as much as I enjoyed the second season, I just didn't think they like got his character right at all.
They made him too whiny
and too aloof. Like he didn't. Like he was almost stupid.
Yeah.
Like
it's not.
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't. And you know, here's what I've always said too about that. You know, If you told me there's a Daredevil show and an Iron Fist show, I'd say, well, obviously the Iron Fist one has the best fight scenes. And
yeah, exactly. Yep.
Daredevil has way better fight scenes.
Way better.
But if Disney were to come out and say, hey, we're going to do Heroes for Hire and we're going to have both characters, I think that in the Netflix shows when those two, Iron Fist and Luke Cage, were playing off of each other, I think that's when Iron Fist was really like watchable. Yeah.
I agree. He worked well with Luke Cage.
Yeah.
I still have yet to see Luke Cage. Jessica Jones, I couldn't get through the first season. I just didn't care. A lot of people liked it. Mm. I just didn't.
You think you didn't care about the first season? Just watch the second one.
Really? Is it worth it? Is it good?
No. The first season was really good on that show, I felt. And the second season, I couldn't even finish. And I didn't even know about the third.
Wow.
The first season took a while. It was mostly because of the villain is why that kept it going.
They just nailed that one.
Yeah.
Daredevil just set a bar that the other ones just couldn't meet.
I thought The Punisher was the only show that came close to Daredevil.
The Punisher was freaking awesome.
I still gotta finish that one.
Oh my god, Jack, you're missing out.
Until that show.
That and those last episodes of Daredevil in that last season when he's taking the Fist compound. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Oh, I'm getting the hair on my arm standing up just thinking about it. It was so good. So good. Vincent D'Onofrio is the best Wilson Fisk you could ever imagine.
I just really didn't think that was going to be good when they announced him, and then I saw it and I was like, oh, okay, got it.
Yeah, so good. Especially when he throws his like little tantrums.
Right. Yeah.
He gets pissed and throws his tantrums.
I need sugar.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. Like, really?
Bob, Bob, Bob. All right. And on that note, I think that's all we're going to cover on Disney Plus today. I'm just kind of bullshitting about it on launch day. I mean, again, it's a big cultural happening. We might as well document since we're in the pop culture game, right?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, with that behind us, let's turn our attention over to Todd and talk about Along a Burning River, Stories from Ohio. Todd, I want to thank you again for being here, and I'm very excited to hear about this book. Congrats to you, by the way. Successfully funded on Kickstarter.
Thank you.
What can you tell us and the listeners more about this book?
All right. So basically, I'm in the Akron area of Ohio, and I've been in the comic scene for a while between buying and selling and such. And I was an English teacher for years, so I've always been an aspiring writer of sorts. So finally decided to get off my ass and do it for real. And I found there's a lot of people sort of in that same boat that were artists and writers just trying to really look for a foothold in the industry, because there's so many tools now for people to be able to go out and do this themselves. You don't have to go get a job at Marvel or, right, obviously further down, like in a small comic company, you can just do this thing yourself. Kickstarter and digital printing and, a lot of digital production tools in terms of artists or for artists have just made it a lot easier for the average person to churn out a comic. So, I talked to a bunch of the people I know and said, hey, man, none of us have time to churn out a whole comic book. We all have jobs, kids, everything else. This is a hobby. And so we decided to see what we could put together. And, I started tracking people down and found a lot of artists and writers throughout the state. And we tried to do this kind of local thing and, kind of flavor it local. We were really hoping to kind of hit a niche here because, we thought if someone wants to hear what we have to say, at least it might be about something they want to hear about. You know what I mean? Like, not everyone's just interested in, some random guy's comic book. So we tried to make it a little more interesting, at least, use it as a little bit of a, I don't say portfolio, but, show what we can do, So I got together with a bunch of people. We got some stories together, and we've been working really hard on this since about March. Like I said, we all have jobs, we all have kids. So working very hard means, giving up our free time for this. But we finally got it all put together. For the most part, we still got some stuff trickling in. We're not quite done putting it together yet, but we've got everything in the pipeline at least. And then, like you said, we're funded on Kickstarter now. We went up November 5th or October 15th, I'm sorry. And we funded, I think, in the first 2 weeks, which was pretty exciting.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah.
So now we've just been pushing. We met our first stretch goal, and we're like, as of right now, we are $44 away from our second stretch goal. So it's been a very humbling experience. Like, it's very weird for someone who hasn't put things out there in the world as much as, you know, like I haven't. And it's really cool to see everybody come out and support it. Like, I, you know, everyone's got that fear, like, I'm going to do this and no one's going to respond to it, you know,
right.
No one's going to pledge anything. So it's been really awesome. And I, you know, I attribute that a lot to the other creators we have on there with us. You know, we have a lot of people on there that are, they have their own little fan bases in their areas, and they're some of them, you know, kind of, I wouldn't even say their area, some of them gotten quite a bit of regional fame even. It's really helped, you know, those fan bases coming on to want to see these guys' new projects and such. So we've been able to piggyback off, you know, each other's success, I guess, and kind of come together to put this big thing out.
It's a great community to do that in. I mean, very supportive community, as we've seen in the 6 years we've been doing this. But and a great idea. So how many different creators then did you say, or did you or do you have in this project?
It's a flexible number right now, because when we went to Kickstarter, we had a few more that kind of just had to tap out, unfortunately, due to some stuff in life. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I'm going to replace them or if we're just going to pull some double duty. But as of press time, it was going to be 19. I think we're down to 17 right now.
That's a lot.
And one of which was an alum. We've had Adam Fields on the show before. And
yes, Adam, when I say the, you know, people have some regional fame, I was thinking of Adam specifically. Man, his following is sort of rabid. It's kind of impressive. He brought so many people to this, and I was so happy, and he's so excited about it. He's such an awesome dude. And yeah, he was only able to contribute just like a pinup. He didn't have time to do a full story, but he's in this thing like full bore, like it's his baby. So it's been pretty awesome for us. Yeah, so we are now we're like all getting ahead of ourselves and start thinking about the next one, because we're like, oh, we got so many new ideas and all this stuff. But, you know, we gotta. It's time for me to now buckle down and get Dave Wilson, who's on doing this with me. He's our sort of our in-house graphic designer. Me and him have to buckle down here in the next couple of months and put this thing together. So can't get too ahead of ourselves. But yeah, it's been pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie.
So, okay, so in the title it says Stories from Ohio. Now, is this just simply that, just because like their creators from Ohio, just whatever story they come up with, or are they themed around certain events? Like, is there...
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. I kind of got too excited and walked right over that fact. No, all the stories here are about Ohio as well. So everyone in here decided to, on whatever, you know, there's some stories that are pure fiction that just happen to take place in Ohio. There's some stories that go back and look at historic events in Ohio history. There's some that look at sort of like Ohio myths and legends. You know,
so like Adam did the Loveland Frogs, I believe, right?
Correct. Yeah, all the pinups were supposed to be based off of, initially at least, were based off of some sort of Ohio, you know, myth, legend, you know, horror movie-esque thing. Yeah, we had a guy who named Jason Christner, who did the Minerva monster, which is basically a Bigfoot.
Okay.
We had another gentleman named Sean Forney, who did the Ohio Grassman, which is just some other portion of Ohio's Bigfoot.
Mm. Yeah, we know Sean. He's been on, too.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
We'll have to look into that. Yeah,
we had a guy originally looking into a couple other little things that he was one of the people who had drop out. But yeah, there was this thing at the beginning. This thing really almost just felt like a big horror anthology. Like everything we did was like cryptozoology and you know, I don't even like a Blair Witch type stuff, you know.
Okay.
Sure.
But then it started really morphing as more people got on board into just, you know, we got a couple stories in there that are just really honestly touching moments about life in general with just Ohio as a backdrop, you know.
Right.
Nice.
So yeah, it got a little real at times in there, you know.
Sure.
You know, and I wrote a just a action story about a pulp hero that, you know, I'm a pretty big pulp guy, you know, 1930s, 40s kind of stuff. And so I just wrote a story about a pulp hero from Cleveland as opposed to, you know, whatever fake city they usually take place in, or New York. So I just gave Cleveland its own pulp hero. So, yeah, so I, when I was done with that story and then I started getting these other people's stories that got all deep and everything, I was like, well, shit, I feel outdone now. These people got real. So, yeah, there's some cool stuff in there. I'm pretty proud of what everyone turned in. I think they're all pretty proud of it, too. So it'd be pretty cool for this to hit the light of day.
Right, yeah. I mean, as Randy mentioned, you know, Sean Forney and Adam Fields both been through the show, and I'm sure there's probably some other names in that book we've seen through here as well. The talents we can think of that, you know, you mentioned here are great talents. So that should right there in itself speak to the caliber of art and story coming out of this book. I can't wait to check it out personally. So this is, again, just successfully funded on Kickstarter. Where can people be directed to check this out who maybe missed out on the Kickstarter?
That is not, it's a good question right now. We haven't thought that far ahead. I am considering throwing it up. I know a lot of people started doing Indiegogos right after their Kickstarters because Indiegogo allows you to sort of keep it open more like a store. Mm-hmm. Oh, less yeah. like an actual, you know, event, campaign, whatever. So I think that that might be an option. You know, it was in the beginning, you know, I was just hoping to get funded. I never thought that, like, man, I need to keep this thing going, you know? So that is the question, is do I need to do that? So that's what we've been kicking that around the last few days, seeing if that's something that we want to put some time into. If not, it should be out around March or so. And basically we're just distributing it through via all the creators. You know, we're not, you know, we're not making any money on this per se. We're just printing as many books as we can with it and just distributing them amongst all of us so we can sell them at shows when we see people out there. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, I've considered websites and other things too. But again, you know, we our thought process was so small on this. Like, I never even thought these would be things to worry about, you know? So we'll see.
That's awesome, though, that you're having that problem. Just shows that you're having
a good problem to have.
Yeah, you're having crazy success and you weren't ready. That's great, man. Well, congrats to you. That's awesome to hear. And you're going to have to let us know when that book is coming out. We'll get you back on the show. We can promote its release.
Oh, perfect.
So, yeah, let us know. And Todd, once again, man, thanks so much for being here.
I had a good time on here. It was nice to talk to people about stuff that aren't my kids.
You are in good company here, Todd, let me tell you. Jack, what do we have on the website?
Go to CandairPodcast.com, where you can see show highlights, guest info, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media, become a patron, buy some merch, see some of our YouTube videos, and if you'd like to be a guest and promote your work, send us an email on our contacts page.
And don't forget to find us on Twitter at CandairPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And once again, if you want to show your support, get some access to some material you can't get out there in the wild, you got to pay for the content. The Canned Air Patreon Pod and Canned Air Fantasy Fight, just head over to patreon.com/CannedAirPod or just take the link on our website and become a patron. Get access to all that stuff for $5 a month. Come on, people. Mm-hmm. $5. You can spare it, right?
Yeah, if you like what you're hearing here.
Come on.
I love what you hear there.
What you got, Randy?
All right, so attention, video game, comic, and toy vendors. Your boys here at Canned Air hosting the Torgs 2020 Summit next May in Lewis Center, Ohio. $40 gets you an 8-foot table until February, but act fast because they're going fast. With an anticipated 2,000-plus attendees, special guests, tournaments, cosplay, it's going to be a fun time. And if you're interested, shoot us a message or check out the website www.torgevents.com. That's www.torgevents.com.
There it is. Am I forgetting anything? Is there anything else we need to cover?
No.
I think that's an episode, gentlemen.
And there it is. Right. A Disney episode
that you don't have to wait for it to load,
right? I hope not. If you heard this, you didn't, I guess. But I guess that's going to do it for this week. So until next time, I'm Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And for this one, I'm Todd Zerloff.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Frozen, watch me ice skate. Wait, come back! The ice could break!
Whoops! Help! Quickly, walk back to the edge!
Stop! You'll break through the ice!
Snow job!
Grab this branch. You should have been listening to Canned Air.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Snow Job, how'd you get your name?
G.I. Joe!
The other thing on here.
What was that?
Willow's on here.
I'm cutting that get her done out here, by the way. That shit has no room here.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!